Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
All right, so we know who the number one starter will be in the playoffs for the Red Sox. He's the guy who's going to be on the mound tonight in the nightcap of the doubleheader at Fenway. Rained out yesterday.
Doubleheader, huh?
Man, you got a ton of rain yesterday. A
lot of rain.
Wouldn't stop raining.
You see my pool. It's like all the way up to the edge.
I believe it.
Got to pump some out.
As you know, Zoe keeps his pool open until October.
I like the look of it.
Yeah, he doesn't shut his down.
November. First week of
November?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was
It gets pretty back there. Once the leaves change and all that. Oh, my God. Fire the hot tub out.
So it's up there. It's out there just for looks right now.
Yeah.
You're not going in.
Hot tub. I go in a hot tub, yeah.
No, not the pool, though.
Well, if you want to, like, say, get weird, yeah, go in.
Whoa! It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot today. It's, like, warm out there.
Shockingly hot, right? It was, like, chilly. Like, really chilly yesterday.
So tonight, Red Sox are going to play two today. Tonight, they'll have Sale on the mound in game two. Yesterday, Dave Dombrowski did an interview. MLB Radio. Is that who this is with? On the old dish, on the old radio dish. Here's Dave Dombrowski, president, baseball ops for the Red Sox, revealing that Sale will be the starter in game one.
Feel comfortable that Chris Sale will be stretched out? I know he went, 75 pitches, I guess, the other day against Cleveland. What's the next step for him?
Well, he's going to pitch tomorrow against the Orioles. That'll be his last start for the season. He will pitch a stretch out again to 90-ish type pitches and be ready to go then to throw 100 pitches for the postseason. He'll be scheduled to start. I don't think it'll surprise anybody the first day of the postseason on the Friday. Right. I don't mean to usurp anybody's announcements, but I think it's been one of those that's been pretty clear. Right. And then Alex and Dana, our pitching coach, Dana Lavangi, will talk to him about between Wednesday and then Friday what he wants to do as far as having a workout, when he wants to throw, and in order to get him properly, just precisely ready for that Friday.
Stop it.
I can't get past the Lavangi. Lavangi.
So now he's Italian.
I
David Lavangi.
Maybe I heard the shortened one yesterday.
The pitching coach, the man to throw the ball, the David Lavangi.
That just didn't,
David Lavangi.
That didn't stick out to me.
Yeah,
when he played it yesterday. Lavangi.
You're going to get the roasted peppers.
Lavangi.
Mozzarella. And the dugout.
A little saucy there.
It was.
David Lavangi.
Dana Lavangi.
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 And the mom. All right. So he's going to throw 90 pitches tonight.
I'm glad he put a number on it.
Which he's not come close to.
Right.
Right.
But I'm glad the GM put a number on it, because that's how you evaluate tonight.
90-ish. He said 90-ish. 90-ish.
So 83 to 98 is 90-ish for me.
I'd say 85 to 95.
Okay.
I'd go within five of each.
Okay.
90-ish. So, great. He's going to stretch it out tonight, and then he has 8 days off. Eight, which means he'll probably feel rested by the time he gets to that Friday night game, or whatever time Friday next week that game will be played. And then he's going to have 100 pitches in that first postseason game. How would you approach that if you're the other team?
Oh, I would work the count.
Take
10 pitch at bat.
If he's on this like strict pitch count in the playoffs and he's worried, there's like a different approach there when you have a guy who's worried about how many pitches he's thrown. How many have I thrown? And maybe he could take advantage of it and attack hitters, and they'll be forced to either swing or they'll strike out or there'll be whatever it is that happens. Mm. But why put that out there? Why give a number on the playoff start? Why not just say he's back to normal after tonight? He's ready. He's back to his normal self.
I like it because it gives us a sense to have to formulate an opinion. Say he gets knocked out of this thing at 50. We said we sound the alarms. We got some issues, folks.
Tonight, but what about next week?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saving moving into next week.
Well, next week's the real deal. Next week, it doesn't matter. I'm not gauging things.
He gets
anymore.
Knocked out at 50 pitches. We have massive concerns, pal. You could have a short series.
Yeah, but if he gets knocked out that quick in a game, it's because you know and have seen that he wasn't good.
Right.
That's my point about it.
Right. But
people have watched it, and if he gets knocked out that quickly, you're saying, obviously he didn't pitch well.
Yeah,
and,
but the GM's saying we're putting him at 90.
And that story will tell itself.
He's pushing a player, saying he's going to go 90.
That's fine. I'm talking about next week.
It's on the record.
With the 100 for next week.
I'm not worried about next week yet. I want to see him get 90 and have real effective 90.
This is what it is. Chris Sale, if you're on a pitch count, has Chris Sale really been on a... I know that they've managed him this year, but have they truly put him on a strict pitch count in any of his starts other than the ones coming back from injury? When you're fully healthy, they're not putting you on a strict pitch limit. They play it by year.
Carl babied him early in the season, but that was on his doing.
But that was because they were just trying to manage him. You've got 100 pitches tonight. That's what you're allowed to throw.
So after they took him out after that first inning, was that two rehab starts ago when they said he was going to go three or four and they pulled him out after one?
No, they were supposed to go two or 40 or pitches and they pulled him out after one inning.
Okay, so if the reason they pulled him out because they could see he's pushing it. You know what I mean? That he's really pushing it and something's not right. So they're pulling him out to get ahead of it. What if he's doing that through the 90 pitches, and something doesn't look good tonight? See, in essence, when you say 90 pitches, you're giving him the blessing to go out and throw hard, throw as hard as he wants.
Well, here's something I wonder,
too. What if he labors?
The game doesn't matter.
No, I don't care about
the result of the game doesn't matter.
I care about how that guy pitches.
Here's what I wonder tonight. Will he be allowed to throw in much of the game? I mean, listen, games haven't really mattered for this team in a while, but this is truly throwaway time of the season now for this team. Will they let him continue to throw tonight, even if he's giving up hits, runs, walks, etc.?
Yeah.
Do you let him? That's what I want to know. What if he doesn't pitch well?
Say he walks.
They force him to hang in there till he gets to 90?
Yeah, you got to build up.
They
for the
should.
Playoffs.
Thank you.
They should.
It should have no bearing on what the outcome or how many guys are on base. So say he walks three guys in a row.
Jim, this is what we should have no tolerance for tonight. Him pitching and then going to the bullpen again.
Right.
What's the point of that?
There's none.
This is basically
I was upset about the first game. I was upset about it.
But it was his first one back. By this point, come on. No more bullpen
crap.
What?
Does it make it problematic that the GM put 90 on it? Because now
I'm not worried about the 90 tonight. I'm worried about the max of 100 in the playoffs. That's what I'm worried about.
Okay.
If you're fully healthy, you're not on a pitch count either. Like, if you're back to 100% full health and there are no concerns, you're not on a pitch count. You're just not.
So but my point with the GM is Dombrowski's saying, yeah, he's 90-ish tonight. So they have no concern of him being able to get to 90. Like, yeah, he's stretching to 90 through 90. That's the way I take that. So what if it doesn't look right? See, he's putting pressure on Sell there to get the 90.
What if
Sell's like, I got to go 90.
I wonder, and would love to know more, are they managing the injury in the playoffs because they don't want it to come up again? They don't want it to pop up? After he pitches?
He should.
And that's why they want to keep him around that 100? Or is it, that's just the number he threw out there? He's back to normal. 100-pitch range is what most starters are going to go. He may have just used it as a placeholder.
No, it's not. He would have went 100
It then. Sounded like a limit.
It's like for him to get the 100. But,
so let me tell you, let me ask this to the Red Sox. If he's cruising through a game and he's at 100 pitches, you pull him? You pull him out of the game?
What
if you need to finish an inning and you need 10 or 12 more pitches?
You're talking about next week?
Can he go to 110? Can he go to 112? Yeah.
No, you go back out for the next inning. Loser goes home, bud. And if he gets into trouble, you take him out.
Yeah, but again, if you're at the 100 pitches, that's my question.
But if he's cruising, you said cruising.
Yes.
Yeah, game one, you take him out. Game five, you don't.
Yeah. Who said yeah?
That was Hardy.
That was Hardy.
Game one, you have to take him out. It's too early in the series. That's probably why he's starting game one. He's starting game one. And remember we talked about this? Should Price start game one? Should Sale start game one? They're going four-man rotation. So they'll have both Price and Sale for game five. And if Sale looks bad, Price may get the start in game five.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This all just tells me that this is not a short thing. This is not a short bet.
Of course it's not.
It should make you a little bit nervous. And tonight is this is the last chance to see him. How's he look? How does he pitch tonight? Your last chance to get a good look at Chris Sale before the playoffs start. 617-779-0985. Your reaction to Dave Dombrowski's comments. Maybe we should play them one more time because he said this yesterday, talking about pitch counts. 90 tonight for Sale in the game two of the useless doubleheader. I feel bad for anyone who had tickets, and now they got 1 o'clock tickets on a Wednesday. Here's Dombrowski yesterday one more time.
Well, he's going to pitch tomorrow against the Orioles. That'll be his last start for the season. He will pitch a stretch out again to 90-ish type pitches and be ready to go then to throw 100 pitches for the postseason. He'll be scheduled to start. I don't think it'll surprise anybody the first day of the postseason on the Friday. Right. I don't mean to usurp anybody's announcements, but I think it's been one of those that's been pretty clear. Right. And then Alex and Dana, our pitching coach, Dana Lavangi, will talk to him about between Wednesday and then Friday what he wants to do as far as having a workout, when he wants to throw, and in order to get him properly just precisely ready for that Friday.
All right, I got two questions also not related to Chris Sale following Dave Dombrowski going on MLB Network Radio yesterday and revealing this. Is his manager upset that he did this? The manager is the guy who's in charge of the baseball club and the decisions and everything that goes on, including the announcements of who's going to be your starters for what games. That's one question. The other question, is how does David Price feel today, or yesterday, following this announcement? What should his reaction be, based on what Dave Dombrowski said? Let's get to both of those things coming up with your calls. 617-779-0985. Lot to get to today. Burt Breer will be with us coming up at 10:50. We'll get to some football with him. We're talking Sox to start the day.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Burt Breer coming up at 10:50 this morning. Burt Breer, the MMQB. Bill Belichick will speak in the 11 o'clock hour, sometime around 11:30. We'll hear from him. Kyle Van Noy going to call us today as well. Should be good to talk to him. We haven't had a chance to talk to him since the whole Felger and Maz dust up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So that's coming up next hour. Talking about the Red Sox, Dave Dombrowski making an announcement on MLB Network Radio yesterday saying that Chris Sale is going to be the number one starter in the postseason. Did it sound to you like he, in his preface of giving that answer, sort of was like, obviously it's Chris Sale? Didn't it sort of have that tone to it? I don't think I'm blowing up any major announcement here. You know, Chris Sale's the guy.
Yeah, he was trying to have fun there.
Right, but didn't he make it sound like
you guys know
it's
this.
Okay. It's
you.
Okay for me to say this because it's just so painfully obvious. You know, my manager won't be upset.
Right.
No one should be upset with me over this, making this announcement.
I don't mean to usurp anybody's announcements, but I think it's been one of those that's been pretty clear.
It's been pretty clear.
No big deal.
And that is what I would say.
How clear has it been? Because how many pitches has he thrown total in his last three starts?
That part of it I don't get. And so if I'm going to put myself in the shoes of two other people. David Price, number one, Here's that. Like, oh, it's obvious? I'm sorry. Who's pitched well? Damn good since the All-Star break.
Oh, he's been good. He doesn't have anything to say after that Yankee appearance. He wasn't great. Now you get your ass kicked 10-1.
Okay, who's been better in recent
still the
months?
Number two guy?
Who's been better in recent months? David Price or Chris Sale?
I understand what you're saying.
Who
but
instills more confidence in you right now, David Price or Chris Sale?
See, if I'm David Price,
you didn't answer that question.
I understand what you're saying.
Because the answer is Price.
What? David Price does.
The answer is Price.
How do you like those apples?
Right now, I mean, listen, I know his record in the big games. I know his record in the postseason. We've hammered him for it for years. But Chris Sale doesn't have a record in the postseason either.
What if you're David Lavangi?
He's got no track record.
What if you're David Lavangi?
Record is a short sample, and it's not very good.
What if you get the Price, and you talk him? And get that?
It might be me.
Okay.
Is it far away?
I'll get it later.
Okay. Yeah. But say you sit Price down, and you approach it the right way before you just put this out there to the press where all of a sudden everybody's going to read it or hear about it through that. Hey, David, just so you know, and you probably know, you're going to be the number two guy. But the reason we want you to be the number two guys, we want to have the flexibility to potentially go right back to you if things don't go right for Chris in game one. Meaning you're going to pitch game two.
Yeah, I just know that number one starter thing matters to some guys.
It does. It does at the beginning of the season.
And if it's
a
true competition and you're going based on like what it really has been over the last few months, like what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, I mean, but at this
point, your answer to this question would be Price. So even if you are saying, well, no, because we think we're better set up to have Price go second and, you know, we're going to feel things out with Chris Sale, I get it. But don't pull the, oh, it's obvious. Is it? I don't think it's obvious. I don't think it's clear. There's definitely a conversation there this year. In other years, there really hasn't been a conversation. Last year, there wouldn't have been a conversation about this. This year, the injury for Sale makes it not so clear. The other part is if you're Alex Cora, why are you putting this out there now? What's the point of this? What are you doing? That's my job. You do what you do. I do what I do.
Yeah, you still got 2 weeks to kind of tweak it and
like,
work
why do you
it,
have
right?
to do that?
Yeah, why are you putting numbers on it? See, when you put numbers on it, all of a sudden it gets our radar up. So now we watch that game tonight. What happens if he doesn't hit 50 pitches? What do we think?
90.
What if he doesn't even hit 50 pitches?
Well,
what
then
we
that's,
think?
I mean.
Based on what the GM said, I'm expecting him to go 90, 85 to 90 pitches tonight. And if he doesn't, guess who's coming in here tomorrow going, uh-oh, what the hell's going on?
Here's another thing. What if Chris Sale pitches terrible tonight and goes 90 pitches? Is it so clear? Is it so obvious that he needs to be the game one starter at that point?
No.
Like, it's something else could happen between now and then.
And why would you even put it out there that so that it's going to be the Yankees? Why would you even tell them that, though?
You don't know that, Zoe. It means one game playoff. Anything can happen in those games.
It better be the Yankees.
It doesn't matter. It's not like you game plan any differently.
I understand it, but you start mentally getting ready for what your approach is going to be against this guy. You've hit against him before. So whatever team's going to say, okay, we got Sale game one. It's going to be 60 degrees and sunny. We'll be all right. We'll be all right against him. We'll be able to hit in that.
617-779-0985. Sam's in Averill. Hi, Sam.
Sammy.
How you doing?
Go ahead.
How you doing?
Listen, two things. Number one, Dombrowski never should have said anything. Because it's not his job to say it. I think that's the manager's job to say it. And it's too early in the year to say that now. And number two about Price, guy hasn't won a game yet. Can't beat the Yankees. Why would it offend him to say that?
You're a big baseball fan, huh?
Pardon?
You like baseball, right?
Yes, I do.
You get excited for the games next week?
Yes, I do.
I know. Can't wait.
I'm with Sam. I stand with Sam on this.
Too early to make the announcement or not Dombrowski's place or both?
Both. Both. It's not your job. Difference and what's the point?
Do you think it's, as to use Dombrowski's word, usurping the...
What is usurping?
When you have a first-year manager. When you have a first-year manager that's like sort of trying to, you know, get comfortable in the role. And, you know, I'm sorry. Even if you are... A guy who's well-respected in your clubhouse, you always still want to sort of maintain that you're the guy in charge, even if your clubhouse does like you. Here's what I want to know. Did they let the players know this? Did they talk to Price and Sale before Dombrowski went on the radio to
do this? I would say yeah.
I hope so.
I think Cora's got a good line of communication up with Dombrowski. I expect that to be the case. That Cora and them all talk, and they all understand it.
I hope that's true.
This shouldn't shock anybody. Yeah. Hardy, that last caller, what do you think? You think he listens to us on the app, on his iPad?
He might.
Or you think he has one of his old transistor radios out on his porch?
He might.
Or on a little shelf.
I'm not joining you on this.
Okay. I'm not either. I'm not doing it.
You know what? You guys are just a bunch of fun today.
Do you know what Chris Sale's ERA is in the postseason?
Postseason ERA.
Yeah.
2.89.
8.38.
Ah! I thought it wasn't.
Yeah, I thought
it would be so much lower than that.
I thought I would just share that with you.
Feels so much better now.
I know he hasn't won, but what? How many innings?
9 2/3. And in that time, he's given up 9 earned runs. He gives up an earned run every inning in the playoffs. So don't sell me on the who cares what Sale. Who cares what Price thinks? Price stinks in the playoffs.
But
well,
was he used as like a late inning guy? Was he used in like middle relief somewhere? Those numbers?
No.
Those are all starts.
Two starts. Mm.
Two starts.
5 innings and 4. Actually, no, because wasn't the second one in relief?
Yes.
I'll double check that.
Couldn't this be a nice, cushy start against a bad team?
I mean, it doesn't make you
tonight?
Feel that much better, but it is.
Yeah,
it is
he
a
did.
Little...
The second one, okay. He has 2 outings. One was a start. which was 5 innings. And the second time he came on in relief last year in Houston, he pitched 4 2/3.
Right.
Yeah. What? What are you humming?
So much higher than I want it to be.
It's such a higher value for the player than what that number indicates.
838. Yep. That's him. That's your ace. 838. It's clear, Hardy. It's clear who the guy is.
Mm.
The guy who's hurt and on the pitch count with an 838 postseason ERA. Of course he's the number one starter. Yeah, we're not usurping anybody. It should just be obvious to all of you. Well, Price sits there and says, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to be the number one starter in these playoffs? What do I have to do? Haven't I done enough? Haven't I pitched well? Haven't I remained, for the most part, healthy after my early season allergy problem? Haven't I done okay?
You have, David.
Haven't I turned it around this year?
Yes, David, you have. It's a personal thing.
How does nobody he not like, have the
nobody
allergies?
Nobody likes you. I'm sorry.
How does his allergies get cured all of a sudden?
How
does he not have allergies right now? Oh, Claritin doesn't fix it.
We'll find out. He's pitching at 1 o'clock.
Took a Zyrtec.
Oh, Jesus.
Took some Flonase.
By the way, I'm curious how that rainout's going to affect Price. Because he was on schedule to pitch on Sunday to get his work in. Now he's pitching Wednesday instead of Tuesday.
God forbid.
What'll it be?
Is he going to have to pitch a simulated game or something on Monday? Or
it'll be offset by the rain we had last night, because that'll get all the dust and mites out of the air.
That's right.
So he'll be able to rebound quicker and get that start over the weekend on shorter rest, because there won't be as many allergens.
Brian's in Bellingham. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
Here's my take on Dombrowski, why he made the announcement yesterday. It's because the Red Sox got a record number of wins for their franchise, and Dombrowski is doing a publicity saying, hey, I'm still here. I'm the one who built this team, and I've got control over this, so I'm making this announcement now.
So you think he's just trying to put his name out there and remind everybody that he's here?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I could see that. Party Boy Dave, as we're calling him now, after that clubhouse partying that he did.
Or just the fact that, you know what? I am involved in this. I'm not just going to sit back and watch. Yeah, yeah. With slick back hair all wet.
I can tell you what. If they win, he will get zero credit. And if they lose, he will get all the blame. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's how it's going to go for him. He's in a no-win situation. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your Red Sox calls and thoughts. Chris Sale, the number one starter going into the playoffs. He'll pitch tonight at Fenway in game two of the doubleheader. Also, a lot of discussion around the NFL with roughing the passer penalties, though. Mike Tomlin had some things to say about this. We'll get to all this coming up next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Hey.
Yeah, you want to do the headlines? Go ahead.
Hey, it's Zoe. It's something that you should do your thing.
All right, I'll do my thing, and then you do your thing. Doubleheader for the Red Sox and Orioles today. After they were rained out last night, that means David Price gets the start this afternoon. David Price gets the start this afternoon. Chris Sale's going to get the start this evening. Meanwhile, Celtics held their first practices of training camp yesterday in Brighton. Brad Stevens, how does Gordon Hayward look?
He looks fine.
Good.
I'm sure there will be moments where he's sore. There will be moments where, you know, he's trying to regain his rhythm and playing. But
I can't do it with the basketball.
I can't. Just don't even run the audio. Just go.
I won't. He looks fine. That's the long and short of it. Patriots practicing today. They got the Dolphins coming in this weekend, who are undefeated on the season. Patriots, of course, 1-2 after their loss in Detroit on Sunday. Headlines are brought to you by. Well, this one I need to look. Headlines are brought to you by Doobie Doo. At Care Hospital, if you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, help is just around the corner. Call At Care at 1-800-ALCOHOL. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero. That's not something you hear a lot about anymore.
Yeah, it's on our old system.
It sort of was a fad. It didn't last.
I did it a few times. It's all right.
It's pretty badass.
It was fun. I mean, it was fun, but I didn't feel compelled to do it, you know, like again and again and again.
I don't do it anymore, but this is one of the songs on it.
You didn't make it a lifestyle.
No.
Like some people do.
I didn't make it a huge pivotal scene in a movie, like in
that was good.
Couples
Retreat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. That was ill-advised.
Now it's a party.
That's not going to stand the test of time.
You want that movie to hold up over time? Probably should have gone with a different plot point than the guy was a Guitar Hero developer and used that as the, you know, the action sequence.
Yeah, right. Mike Tomlin is speaking out about roughing the passer. Did you happen to see Big Ben flopping like a fish in their game against the Bucks?
I saw him get hit, and the guy pops up and asks him, sorry about that, Ben, you okay?
One that was when they were backed up at their goal line, Jason Pierre-Paul, like, grazed his helmet with his hand, and Ben's like, ah! And it falls to the ground.
Is it the stump hand or the other?
I don't know. I don't know if it was a good... Which fingers did he blow off?
I think it was the bad hand.
You think it was the bad hand?
I think it was. I saw it.
So it was right hand?
He did it with his nubs.
Just think, getting grazed by a nub.
I'll see you with my nub.
Getting grazed by a nub, that's not even the same as a finger.
No, but it grosses you out.
Yeah, but if you get like an itchy back, like up top, like you have that thing and it's all curved like that, that's got to feel good to scratch. It's almost like a towel.
There's no curves. They're nubs.
They're nubs. That's like a big
If you didn't see like the bones, they were all curved. They look like a towel.
Well,
you think
they left it like that?
Probably.
No, they cut him off.
They cut it. I use a knife and cut it off.
No, saw those bones right out of there, man.
Oh, I'd have left it like that to scratch
my back.
He's
got big, rounded nubs. Those are no good for scratching.
Now hurts. Scratch yourself with a bunch of golf balls sewed onto the end of a glove. That's what it is.
Huh.
Cut the fingers off a glove and put golf balls right at the first knuckle. That's what he's got.
Yeah, Crypt Keeper
two of them.
Hand, man.
That's not a good scratcher.
Like the Crypt Keeper. Cut that off?
Yes. No. And they just leave the bones like hanging out?
Yeah, let me scratch your back.
I've got these...
Good evening.
I got these fingers where the bones are still protruding. God,
a lot to break.
He'd be so much more effective if he ripped that oven mitt off and just showed that gnarled mess to people. Like, get away from
freak
me.
Freak people out.
No.
Sit on the sideline eating with it.
You'd want to get nowhere near that.
Get it off. Maybe that's why Ben hit the deck.
Best competitive advantage ever. I want nothing to do with that guy.
All right, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Steelers. What did he say about this?
Good afternoon. As always.
I'm so sorry. He's such a boob. Oh, God.
Good evening.
Good morning. Oh, wait a second. Let me look at what time it is. Hold on a second.
Good afternoon.
There we go. Now we can continue.
All right.
As always, I'll kind of outline last night's game.
And give you all the injuries. Tell you everything that's happening.
At least he sounds today like he's talking like a normal person.
He's not a drill sergeant.
He's not screaming like a drill sergeant in this one today.
He's happy they won.
They won.
It's a good move.
Subdued Mike Tomlin. Yeah.
You know, I talked after the game about the penalties. The penalties were a significant element of the game. And really, I'll say two specific things about the penalties. I understand it was an emotional game, a big game, prime time for us responding from a negative performance. So I understand the emotions in it. But, boy, we got to play cleaner than we played last night. We played hard. But we got to play cleaner. We got to play smarter. The second thing I'll say is, penalties were called in a similar fashion on both sides. And from that perspective, it's fair. I don't worry a lot about how the game is being officiated, provided it's being officiated in a similar way. And I thought it was from that perspective. But as somebody that appreciates the game and understand that we're in the sport entertainment business, it is worrisome from the fan perspective. I do worry about what it's like to watch that game at home, you know, with penalties being administered at the rate that they were.
He's worried about the fans.
Yeah.
What he's telling you, too, is he's not going to say I'm a fan, but when it was Monday night, and this is part of what we did
right
Sunday, when we play Sunday night, you sit there and you watch every freaking game. You sit there and you wait for time to go because you're traveling, and you're down in Tampa, and you're sitting in the hotel, so you're watching everything. Like, what are these flags being thrown? Did you see that flag, this one? He saw them all. He saw the Clay Matthews hit. That's what he's talking about. Then he had two called on his team.
He's on the competition committee, you know.
I know.
So he's got a say in this.
It's good.
Somewhat. I wonder, based on how the NFL has sort of jam things through, especially with the way they're calling the or wanted to call the penalties on the helmet-to-helmet contact, which we have not seen, disappeared.
Yeah. It's a non-existent penalty.
This has been a bigger penalty in terms of changing the way things are played this season. The emphasis on this more so than the helmet, wouldn't you say?
We are worried about the wrong...
Yes.
They were worried about the wrong rule. But I think he's right. I mean, when he says...
We're in the sport entertainment business. It is worrisome from the fan perspective. I do worry about what it's like to watch that game.
I mean, I don't know if it's his job to worry about that.
But he is.
But he is. And,
yeah.
And
it is his job. He's on the competition committee. Yes.
Yeah, but is that really what you're there for? If you're coming up with the rules, you're concerned about how the game is played.
Right, but that's what he's saying, too, well, there, and, though.
He doesn't coach offense. He doesn't coach defense. Yeah. What else is he worried about?
But you don't.
This isn't what we want. This is
as a head coach, if it is 99% of his worrying goes in to what's going on with the Steelers.
Right.
Not the competition committee. How often do they
Not
meet?
Tomlin.
No, but he's saying his job.
What has he done in his career that's proven to you that 99% of his attention goes to the Steelers?
Okay, but your job on the competition committee is not to go in and say, what's going to make our game a more entertaining product? That's not how you approach it on the competition committee. Well, what's going to be great for the fans? That's what we'll do.
But what did
that's
he just,
how we'll make the rules.
What did he just get done talking about? The amount of penalties in that game and how we need to clean things up. So there he is saying, okay, not only are we screwing up and we're getting a ton of flags thrown at us, but at them too, and they're all questionable, half of them. We got to stop at he's telling you, just stop at these damn flags. Flags are killing the game.
Meanwhile, he's got a quarterback who's flopping all over the field now. This is going to be like an NBA type of flop thing that happens with quarterbacks. Quarterbacks are now going to sell it more than ever. Quarterbacks already have sold it over the years.
Yeah.
Brady sold it over the years on some hits.
You have the Brady rule because of it.
Right. And they act so injured, but then they pop right up after it happened and say,
good afternoon.
Yeah, they're fine.
Good evening.
I went there for Halloween. Like
when it was kids... a night game. Sorry. Yes, that works better, Jim.
Good evening.
When kids come to my house, I want that. And I'm going to put it in this loudspeaker right next to the door. So when the doorbell rings, good afternoon.
You should put the Brady creaky door sound effect.
Oh, yes.
Through the stereo on the front porch.
Oh, it only works for the 1 o'clock starts. The quarterback goes down. Oh, it really hurt. Whew.
Good afternoon.
Okay, I'm ready. Next play. 15 yards. We got it. Good. Let's go. First down.
617-779-0985. Bert Breer is scheduled to join us next. I don't see Bert in the building yet.
It's only 10:45.
All right. Well, he's got 5 minutes to get here. Bert Breer will be with us next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Catch is made by White. He'll be brought down at the 41-yard line. White caught a touchdown pass to pull the Pats within 13-10.
Look at Cordell Patterson. Look at Cordell Patterson walking back to the line of scrimmage.
And Patterson walking back to the line as the final seconds will elapse here in Detroit.
Brady's trying to call a play, and he's walking back to the line of scrimmage. That says it all.
Now the Patriots are going to fly back to New England. And right now, the Lions are riding high with a first win under head coach Matt Patricia, really dominating the Patriots in every phase this evening and winning by 26-10 final.
Yeah! Little Bush. Who doesn't like Bush? You like Bush Breer?
I like him.
You love Bush. Bert Breer, brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, where free means free. Free online banking and debit cards. No minimum balance and no monthly fee. It says free here, but no month. You can laugh. It says no monthly free.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Visit rfcu.com today and find a location near you. How you doing, Bert?
I'm doing good, Zo. How are you?
You hear that final call right there with Bob Soucy and myself on the Patriots Radio Network? Everybody's trying to run around, and there's good old Cordarrelle Patterson just walking back to the team.
Which is...
indicative of his night.
Going to make for a rough week for probably him and some other people. I'd imagine that this is going to...
Puts him on a radar now is what it does.
Well, I just for one thing. So you're talking about the final plays of the game.
Yeah.
And the Patriots held the ball.
Yeah, you're losing. But, I mean, you got Brady and James White handing the ball off, and everybody else is hustling to clock the ball. Brady's trying to call it out.
But they weren't trying to get down there and score and then do the onside kick. They weren't trying to win the game.
Well, they ran James White like four times, and then all of a sudden
Were they trying to win the game at the end of the game?
They were trying to finish the game out.
But as long as you're on the field, you're expected to...
We all knew what they were trying to do.
As long as you're on the field...
Fake it.
Like, as long as so you're in the, as long as you're in the field, you're supposed to conduct yourself.
I agree,
way.
And I would have done the same thing, but it
it was unprofessional.
I would. I think there are some fans, even though it was a totally pointless effort, would have liked to have seen them actually try and go down and score at the end of the game, as opposed to just going through the motions.
There were lots of signs of frustration in that game. Like, I thought a couple of throws. Like, there was the one to Brady threw, and I think Alan Chris on the broadcast said, "Well, that must have been a communication issue." It looked like Brady just threw that as far as he possibly could, and it was like a screw you. Like, there's nowhere I can go with the ball right now. I'm going to put this ball in frickin' Flint. Like, I'm going to throw this ball as far as I can, and, like, this is my message to you. You've not done enough.
I had said that, like, right after the game. We said it again here Monday morning. I heard other people kind of, like, joking about that notion. I firmly believe that's what Brady was doing.
I think it's like,
you're going to give me no one to throw to? All right, I will throw it to no one because that's what you've given me.
Jim's got the call. Listen as it's being set up because somebody doesn't line up on the right side of the football. Here we go.
All right. Dorsett in the huddle.
Can't line up right now. Brady's trying to bark signals.
Patterson to the left along with Gronkowski and Hogan. That's the wide side of the field. White to the right of the quarterback. First and 10 from the 21. Shotgun snap. A lot of time. Brady rears back, throws it deep downfield, and that pass is overthrown. He overthrew five Lions with Chris Hogan at the 45-yard line, three Detroit defenders deep down the middle of the field. Lee Blakeman, the referee, convening a huddle, and Brady comes over.
Oh, don't you dare throw it. They're going to throw you grounding? Okay.
So
they end up throwing grounding there. And again, I've never seen a crew huddle to sit back, take a look at the video board, watch it, come to a decision, and then throw the flag. What are we doing? When was that
ever
allowed?
I've seen that before. So where they huddle and they won't throw the flag. They'll just like hold it like this and drop it.
Do we have the ability to do that on every play?
I mean, look, I think in most cases like that, you do. I mean, this isn't the first time
we've
seen something like that. Okay. So, I mean, we've seen them pick up flags too, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've seen them pick up flags before. That play, like, I think most times that flag's not going to get thrown because the refs have it ingrained in their heads that that is some sort of miscommunication and we're not throwing it.
But the biggest part of that was Patterson was lined up over where Hogan was with the tight end on the other side, and Brady had to grab him and throw him out to the left, and he's trying to yell the play out to him, and he still ran the wrong route.
And it's, like, it looked like a mess. It looked like an absolute mess. Like, the offensive operation 3 weeks into the season probably shouldn't look like it did on Sunday. And we can point to a lot of things. Like, we can point to the turnover at receiver. We can point to the fact that they've had some moving pieces on the offensive line. We can point to the fact that Brady and Gronk weren't around for part of the offseason.
I mean, you really have one. Just like, it's either Cannon or Waddle, right?
The offensive, I mean, just to me, like, that entire, because I thought Detroit would move the ball on them. Like, I figured coming in, based on what we saw in Jacksonville, I thought the Lions were going to come in and they were going to be able to move the ball on the Patriots. The Lions have a good quarterback. They've got weapons around him. The offensive line, like, they've invested a lot in it, so it was going to come around at some point. I thought the Lions would be able to move it on them. How the offense looked, like, was the stunner to me.
Patriots offense.
The Patriots offense. The operation, and it wasn't just like, oh, well, Brady doesn't have anybody to throw to. It was the operation of it. It was the organization. It was the way that they were playing on third down. Like, it was just, it looked like playground ball, and it never looks like playground ball. You know, it looks like Brady's just going out there and trying to figure it out on the fly. To me, like, that was, like, the optics of it were, okay, Gronk's gone. Now what do I do? You know, like it was they're going to take Gronk away, and I think, knowing Patricia coming from here, like, what would Belichick do in that situation? He would do exactly what Patricia did, right? Like, he would basically treat Gronk like he's a gunner on the punt team, right? Two guys on top of him and force you to go somewhere else, and the Patriots just didn't have answers.
So when you look at this game and you look at that, do you think, oh, it's a talent thing? They don't have talent? Or does it go beyond that? Because we've seen teams that lack talent that have done okay.
Yeah.
Not great, not Super Bowl winning teams, but teams in New England that have done okay with a lack of receivers.
I want to see it with Gordon on the field, and I want to see it with Edelman on the field before I draw any sort of conclusions, but this was ugly.
Yep.
In essence, does
Edelman mean that much to this team?
I think Edelman, so
he is the cog. I mean, he makes it go.
I think the slot receiver means that much to this team. And I don't
you
think,
don't have a slot.
I don't. I don't think that they've been this up a creek at that position.
What about the?
I can't
Rex
remember.
Burkhead.
I can't.
Rex Burkhead can play. Oh, he can't.
I can't remember. Like because they've always like that's one position. Like it was Troy, and Troy was super durable. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Like even at the end, even in 06, like Troy could still go out there and play. That gave way to Welker. And you put Welker in there, and Welker was super durable for a few years. Then when he actually got hurt, you had Edelman on the roster.
Right.
Then Edelman, like, you after Welker left, you brought in Amendola. So now you had two layers of depth there. So you always had one or the other. I can't remember a time when they were this up a creek at that slot position. I mean, it's sort of scary when you think, like, and look, I think like Edelman brings toughness, right?
Because yeah, so they're not an outside throwing team. They're an interior throwing team.
There's definitely an element of toughness that they're missing. But I also think it's just we're seeing how important that position is. Like, it's not just Julian not being there. And Julian's a great player. It's not just Julian not being there. It's the fact that, like, the drop-off from the first guy playing that position to the next guy playing that position, I mean, who is their slot right now?
There really isn't one. There really isn't a guy that fits the role.
Right.
I mean, I think that a lot of people thought Braxton Berrios getting drafted was going to be, he's going to be that next.
Right. And he was a fun player to watch at Miami. I think anybody who watched college football saw Miami play last year, saw him. And I think he's one of these guys, like, you know, the kid Hunter Renfro at Clemson, when you watch him and you're like, oh, that guy could definitely fit here. You know, like,
so right. And maybe he does, but he's not.
Yeah, but he's not
right
there.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not helping now.
So now you look at the situations and there's no depth there.
Right.
They got to get him back.
It shows you how reliant they've been on that position over the years.
And so,
they've always been really good at that position.
What's a 32-year-old off an ACL look like? Usually it's not great. But for him and for this team, I'm not sure he has to look great to make a difference.
No, he just
does that make sense?
He needs to be competent.
Like, yes.
They're not competent like at that position right now.
All right, Burt Breer is with us. We're going to talk more about Rob Gronkowski and Tom Brady and the day they had on Sunday, including Gronk confirming a report after the game. We'll get to that after these headlines. No commercials.